Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, Seth Rollins is attacked by a fan on WWE Raw.
The original plans for The Rock at Survivor Series have been revealed.
We will tell you which one of WWE's released wrestlers had immense backstage heat.
And new champions were crowned on Monday Night Raw. I'm Adam Wilborn.
The Egg is now a 24/7 champion.
And this is the news.
All right, we're going to kick things off with the biggest story
coming
out of last night's Raw. Seth Rollins got attacked by a fan, like, for real.
Yeah.
What the hell? So it came after a segment. Seth and Finn, they were in the ring, they were going to have a match, but Seth just ended up beating the crap out of poor Finn Balor. What did he do to deserve that? Absolutely nothing. Seth's going to the back, and literally this guy jumps him, pretty much. Tackles him to the ground. WWE caught it for like a second before cutting to a replay, so the production crew were on the ball, but the cameras did catch it for a brief moment there. They were separated, as we've seen from various clips uploaded to social media, referees and other people getting in the way. Guy was taken to the back, it was all kind of sorted out. Seconds later, Seth was like on the ramp, like smiling and laughing and stuff, so he got back into character really quickly. Presumably he's okay after going through this.
Yeah, he's back at the end of the show, of course.
Yeah, of course, he was involved in the main event angles as well. So, you know, watching these clips online, there's one where, like, the fan doesn't just jump the barricade. He jumps the barricade, like, off camera, and then runs, like, all the way around the stage and, like, properly sprints to get at Seth for whatever reason. Now, WWE have issued a statement on this. They say WWE takes the safety of its performers very seriously. The individual who attacked Seth Rollins has been turned over to the NYPD and will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. This would be the second example of a fan trying to get involved in the show and trying to confront a wrestler. Chris Jericho, of course, faced somebody down until they were beaten up by Justin Roberts, of all people, at an AEW show back in July. You remember we covered that one. Stance is always the same. This is moronic.
Yes.
Unbelievably stupid thing to do. You pay all that money to go to the show, you jump the barricade, you make yourself into just an example doing something like this. And obviously the most important thing is that Seth is okay. You notice when the guy, like, kind of tackled him, Seth immediately tried to put them in a face lock, put them in a guillotine or whatever it was to just subdue them and not do any damage to them at the same time. But yeah, I mean, this was wild, but I'm ultimately glad that it's been dealt with.
As with most things, I'm Team Lance Storm on this one, who tweeted all about it saying, yeah, you didn't lay enough boots into him after you managed to drag him off Seth Rollins. What an idiotic thing to do. Look,
so stupid.
I get it. I mean, the Jericho thing was slightly different because I'm fairly certain Jericho was a face by the time that fan train maybe tried to jump the barrier and attack him. It's great to get that sort of reaction if you're Seth Rollins, for people being like, oh, you dickhead, why have you done that to Finn Balor? But no one should actually act upon it. You should shout and holler your abuse and make signs saying, oh, I bloody hate you.
Yeah.
But don't get involved in the action.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Dumbass.
It's ridiculous. The invisible barricade and literal barricade. It's what the whole thing's supposed to be. Someone's a villain.
It's terrifying as well, must it be? Because, like you say, he comes running and fair play to Seth Rollins, like you say, not only for just immediately getting back into character and continuing doing what he's doing, but then still, you know, having the confidence to go back out there. Because at the end of the day, not to be too hyperbolic, that bloke could have had anything. He could have had a knife, he could have had a gun. We don't know. It's quite right that not only was he, you know, subdued, maybe should have been subdued slightly more, in my opinion, but he's been handed over to the authorities. And yeah, don't follow this guy's actions because it's literally the dumbest thing you can do at a wrestling show.
It's the exact same what we said after the AEW thing, isn't it? Just stupid, never do this. Glad it's been taken care of.
And glad Seth Rollins is all right, as you said. Right, let's give you an update with the whole The Rock Survivor Series situation. Lots of talk about this over the past couple of days. Obviously, Survivor Series was a big celebration of 25 years of The Rock. They were also promoting his new movie, Red Notice. Lots of video packages, but sadly no appearance from Dwayne Johnson. But Andrew Zarian, the brilliant Andrew Zarian of the Matt Men Pro Wrestling Podcast, has provided us with a bit of an update, writing for Figure 4 Online and the Wrestling Observer, that he was apparently planned to show up at the pay-per-view, but plans unfortunately changed in September. In July, The Rock was going to be at Survivor Series, basically, but due to promotion of the movie and therefore filming restrictions for other films and quarantining restrictions that are sort of go along with all that, they decided that he could no longer appear at Survivor Series in September, but WWE just went along with what they already had planned, just minus Dwayne Johnson, which I suppose they didn't. It's not like previous issues, let's say, we've had at Survivor Series where they promised people would show up and then said, oh, what? He's been run over. Yeah. What's going on? Like, they
Rikishi's at it again.
Exactly. They didn't say The Rock's going to be here and then he didn't arrive. I think a lot of people just saw Red Notice, The Rock, 25 years of Survivor Series, etc. And put two and two and two together and got 22.
At the same time, though, I think like WWE kind of made a rod for their own back with a lot of this stuff as well. Like, the volume of Rock tribute stuff. Like, they made him a protagonist on a show that he wasn't on. Like, naming a battle royal after him and then, like, setting up, having the Roman Reigns win and then kind of leaving, like,
lingering on it,
like, I think that the backlash they've received for this, honestly, even though they haven't, that kind of reaction, I think it's kind of their fault. Don't lean so heavily into this thing.
There's an easy fix for this, isn't it? And it's a video message from The Rock saying, sorry I can't be there tonight, but thanks for the lovely tributes.
Did that for Ken Shamrock's Impact Hall of Fame induction. I'm sure he would have
just
done
say,
it.
Just say, it's a quick message. Well, Baron Corbin, you're a knobhead. Yeah. That's all you need to do when people go, yay, we got what we wanted, basically.
Do you know who else is a knobhead in the eyes of the WWE locker room?
Nice segue.
Hey? Jackson Ryker. Turns out he had a fair bit of heat when he left WWE. This is a report here from Fightful Select. Ryker was obviously one of, eight people who were cut. Man, it was only like last week. This is crazy that they let a bunch more wrestlers go. Of course, Hit Row, John Morrison, Tegan Nox, people let go. Jackson Ryker, name on the list. But it sounds like, per Fightful here, the word they use here is incredible. Backstage in WWE. This dissipated for a while and he tried to keep a low profile, but the Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler were taken off television as a result of the tweet, you know what we're talking about, and then Ryker ended up returning to TV before those guys. Seems to have lingered with people. It's rubbed some people the wrong way. Cutler and Blake, I guess, got like a level of residual heat for being associated with him, and the Forgotten Sons were split. All of that stuff, we've covered it before. One of Fightful's sources stated that once it was clear that Ryker wasn't getting over this summer following his split from Elias, and he really wasn't getting any kind of reaction from the live crowd, he faced a real uphill battle. And there were actually some people in the company who were surprised that he actually lasted until this round of releases. So he hadn't wrestled on Raw since, September. Prior to that, he hadn't wrestled on Raw since July, so really sporadic use. He was mostly on Main Event up to that point. He'd been with WWE for 4 years at the time of his release. He's 39 years old. We've covered the Ryker tweet and everything else in the past. Our thoughts on that are pretty clear. Shouldn't have done it. Dumb thing to do. Using a situation as delicate as that, exploiting racial tension to further a wrestling catchphrase, as Kevin Owens called him out for. Real brain-dead numbskull move. You know what, the thing I think is often neglected when people discuss Jackson Ryker? He was kind of bland.
Oh, yeah.
Not particularly televisual, and never got over to any particular level. And, look, I don't want to see anyone lose their jobs under these circumstances. Budget cuts, it's all garbage.
Exactly.
But, the guy's kind of an ass, and it seems like no one liked him. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. Like you say, we're never going to sit here and say, oh, this person should have been released instead of this on the wrestling. You shouldn't do that either. That's a dumb thing to do. I'm not surprised whatsoever by this story coming out. He sort of destroyed whatever push the Forgotten Sons were going to have. And then, the fact that he was still around and getting pushed and doing his own single stuff whilst Blake and Cutler were just sort of twisting in the wind and then eventually were released. no great surprise that this has left what you said was residual heat for him. But regardless of all that, regardless of the fact that I wasn't a huge fan of him wrestling either, best of luck to him in the future. Hopefully he can, you know, he's assessed what he's done, realizes what he did wrong, and hopefully he can reappear on our screens one way or another wrestling again very soon. So best of luck to Jackson Reichert in the future there. Let's talk a little bit about Monday Night. We had, I think, what, 4 championship matches last night? Hey, by the way, congratulations to Damian Priest retaining his title in where he's from. Because that doesn't really happen very often. Big E also defended the WWE Championship against Austin Theory in the main event. But we had 2-3 title changes, technically, I suppose. The 24/7 Championship went from Reggie to Cedric Alexander to Dana Brooke. So congratulations to her now. But the big change I need to tell you about is the Women's Tag Team Championships. Unfortunately, they are no longer held by Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. They are now held by Carmella and Queen Zelina. The story going into the match proved that the heels were completely correct. Because they said, Rhea Ripley's the strong link in this team. If we take her out, we can beat Nikki A.S.H. really easily. That's what they did.
Yep.
They sent Rhea Ripley into the post on the outside. They kicked Nikki A.S.H. in the head, and Queen Zelina hit her with the code red 1-2-3 after a 63-day title reign. Unfortunately, that's it for Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. No word on yet as to whether they're going to split as a tag team, but new Women's Tag Team Championships, a title I'd almost forgotten about.
At least it's not an odd couple act, right? That would be my main thing coming out of this. At least it's not, you know, we've had so many of those stories in 2021 that when a tag team that's not won wins the belts, it's like, oh, wow, this works. Yeah, I mean, I know Queen Zelina and Carmella haven't exactly had, like, hundreds of matches together and stuff, but they do fit together as an act, and, like, they have similar
attitudes. Masks, dumb.
Yeah, Carmella's cane mask was interesting, wasn't it? That was a choice. But, yeah, sure, I mean, like, these belts are kind of, like, they don't get defended very often. They're not really presented in an important light. I assume they'll use this as a vehicle to split up Rhea and Nikki, maybe. We'll see if we head in that direction. But
Hopefully this free Rhea up for a big title win. Maybe a world title win at WrestleMania. Because she deserves it. And she's a strong contender to maybe win the Royal Rumble this year, I'd say.
I hope so.
Don't know what's going to happen with Nikki A.S.H., but I'm not a huge fan of that gimmick. But it's not for me at the end of
it's
the day.
It's for the kids.
Exactly.
For the kids.
Right, shall we move on to Twitter questions? At WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from a regular contributor, Mark Solid, who says, morning, my dudes. Thoughts on having another Nexus or Aces and Eights-like stable? If so, what promotions would you like to see them in? And what wrestlers? Suggesting one in the NWA. Even an all-women one. What do you reckon about these sorts of things?
I think that we need a bit of distance from this kind of stable, for a while at least, because like you said in the preamble before we started recording, we just had Retribution
last,
and that was kind of a similar vibe, albeit with just like
when they did naps,
balaclavas and having silly names and stuff. So yeah, I don't necessarily see a promotion today where that would be a good fit, where that would necessarily work. Let's leave this kind of storytelling for a while, the rebellious taking over from within stable. It was great back in the day, but we've had enough of them, I think, over the past decade.
Yeah, on the Raw review over the past few weeks, myself and the Dudleys have been sort of recapping the Aces and Eights storyline. We did the wedding, where of course Taz revealed himself to be a member.
The classic wedding.
Is it her near or is it me? He takes his jacket off and he's got the leather jacket on underneath. And then the Bully Ray reveal. Hulk, I fooled you. Brooke, I screwed you, or whatever you want. Or no, I used you and I screwed you. I think that's the quite right terminology. Pick whichever Hogan you want for that one. And you're never going to hear me complain about the Nexus because it's got my best friend Wade Barrett in. But I think you're absolutely right. Even if they wanted to do something in, I don't know, Impact. It's not going to happen in AEW. They're not going to do it in WWE anytime soon. I do like the idea of an all-women's one, actually, to be fair to Mark there. That's a nice suggestion, but I don't see it happening anywhere else. It feels like we've got like a moratorium? Is that the right word?
I don't know.
12 months, none of this bollocks, basically.
Yeah.
Second question today comes from Travis Zachary on Twitter, who says, who besides Austin Theory would you have preferred to have gotten the A/ title shot and why? Personally, Travis suggests, you might like this one, Andy, I would have wanted the return of Hardcore Holly so they could give him the belt and have him beat everybody.
That's the best possible answer. I think, look, from a serious analytical point, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because what did Austin Theory gain from that? He had a 9-minute main event that he lost.
And a selfie with Vince.
And a selfie with Vince. And he got distracted by two men who weren't in the match having an argument. It's like, this stuff doesn't protect people in the finish. It just makes them look like goobers. So he walked in. He theoretically got a rub by stealing the
egg
and being in a segment with Vince. And then he lost and looked like a dork. Like, it did him no good. I don't think there's anyone good for this spot apart from Hardcore Holly. Because if you give him the belt, he will beat everybody.
Yeah, we were suggesting on the Raw Preview podcast, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, that the person who could have stolen the egg was going to be R-Truth because he thought it was made of chocolate, you silly bloody fool. It's not Easter, it's Thanksgiving. The only correct suggestion here is Titus O'Neil. Because he deserves more appearances on TV because he's such a lovely bloke and I'd love now to him to get a title shot. Not the world title, obviously. I'm not going to get carried away.
24/7 title.
Titus Worldwide Feud, hello.
Oh,
Statistician versus Leader. LTST, long-term storytelling, baby.
Nobody does it like the 24/7 division.
Right, David. David, I'm going to butcher your surname here. David Japuntich. Japuntich. David, thank you for your question.
Sorry about
May have sent, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, the best question we've had this year. Okay?
Okay.
Ready, everyone. I want you all to answer this in the comments. David says, if you could steal a priceless artifact from a Dwayne Johnson film that he'd carelessly given away as a gift, what would you target?
Danny DeVito. Does he count as a priceless artifact?
He is in my world.
He was...
Can I offer you a...
He was playing.
Can I have you, Danny DeVito, at this trying time?
In the last Jumanji film, he just plays like a frail character, like an old guy.
I love him.
It's like, Danny, come in from the cold, stay here forever. Also, the flying horse from Jumanji. Why not? What am I on about?
You like a taste of the good life, you sack. No, Cleary suggested from Jumanji, Karen Gillan. Karen, the ginger ones. Abs, or just her, I suppose. But I'm going to pick fish hook from Moana. Is it Maui he plays? Where he can like use it to transform. Imagine that. Look, imagine if I could just go 3, 2, 1. Anything happen? Did I transform into anything different?
No.
I'm still just a blanky, specky ginger bell end. Well, we can dream. That's why I'd like it. But let us know in the comments because I really like that as a question. Thank you for that, David. And let's finish up with today's and finally. And shout out to Romeo El Idolo on Twitter because there was a nice video posted. We talked about some bad stuff that happened in Brooklyn. But they all sang Happy Birthday to Randy Orton's daughter, which... After all the bollocks we talked about with stupid idiots jumping the barrier and attacking wrestlers, it's just a lovely gesture, so I thought we could end on that note.
Yeah, nice. Nice to wrap a story, a video that began with some idiot fan attacking a wrestler. Nice moment. Cool.
Look at this.
Yes.
What a story we've told. Yeah. We could learn from
it. It's like Lord of the Rings, but without goblins.
It's like Lord of the Rings, but good.
But like Lord anime Rings, version. With
the worst... film series of all time.
Have you read the cartoon, the manga cartoon?
Honestly,
it came from that was written by Bleach.
There's a lot of things that me and Scott Telford don't see eye to eye on, but this is number one with a bullet.
He's got some toy
Lord
dolls,
of the Rings sucks.
He's got like a Gandalf toy doll.
Lord of the Rings sucks. Mission Impossible is the greatest film franchise of all time. Fight me, comment section.
The Hobbit is better.
Let us know your thoughts. Actually, don't let us know your thoughts on that, but let us know your thoughts on the stealing the rocks, precious gift stuff, and everything else we've discussed in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, myself and the Dudley Boys sitting down to review Money in IRL and look ahead to NXT 2.0 later. You can also let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for hentai. That's what you watch, you tentacle.
Is that the one with
person?
The pillows that they come?
Tentacle pillows and like. It's a weird world.
Honestly, this might get the most comments ever on a news video.
I think it's like on Cartoon Network.
At Adam Wilborn on Twitter. At What Culture WWE.
Tickleodian. Because it's tickling you with the tentacles. We know about this stuff.
We do. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.